Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We're hoping to have with us very, very soon Bill Turney. And Bill was a weapons inspector in Iraq. For many years, he worked over there. He was a warrant officer in the military. And, of course, we're going to be calling him in just a moment here. And hopefully we will be able to get him. Right now, we're going to have to see if we can get another number. We have several numbers for him, and we'll try one of those, see if we can get Mr. Bill Turney. Anyway, we're going to be back here in just a moment with more of Radio Liberty. But right now, we're just going to play a little music and see what's happening. All right, Dr. Stan here, and now we're trying to get our special guest for the afternoon. I hope this is not going to be one of those afternoons, but we'll just see how she goes as we certainly try to reach him at his home. Now, Bill Turney is an interesting individual. Basically, as a Christian, certainly working over in Iraq, there was a Arab Christian who was defecting, frightened to death. And so Mr. Turney prayed with this Arab Christian and tried to allay his apprehension. And lo and behold, when word of that got out, that he had had the audacity to pray with an Arab. Now, despite the fact he was a Christian, he was forced out of his military career just 2 years before he was ready to retire. This is an incredible, incredible story, and most people have never heard of it, but this indeed is exactly what happened. So our plea is, of course, to try to find, to get Mr. Turney on so we can get you his amazing, amazing story. And so we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with Mr. Turney, and hopefully he will tell us exactly what transpired. But right now, we're going to have to just wait until we can get him on the line. And, of course, the other thing is, of course, Mr. Turney supports the war. He feels that we need to take out Iraq, and so it'll be very interesting in getting his views on why he thinks we should go to war halfway around the world to fight terrorism when we aren't even sealing our borders here in the United States to protect the American people. Why, of course, we certainly are welcoming illegal immigrants into this country on a regular basis. Why, of course, with 15 of the 19 terrorists came from Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia had consistently financed Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Why we went to war with Afghanistan, and now we're going to war with Iraq. There's a wonderful book, and it's called Hatred's Kingdom. It's a story of Saudi Arabia. It's written by Ambassador Dor Gold. Formerly, he was with the the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations. And, of course, he points out that this whole Islamic terrorist movement originated in Saudi Arabia. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two and, of course, try to get more information on that for you here right at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And right now we have with us on the line Bill Tierney. Bill, how are you doing? How are you today?
Oh, good. I'm just sitting down. The kids are all taken care of, so I'm ready to talk.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your story? You were a warrant officer for how long?
I was in the service, the Army, for almost 17 years, 16 years and 9 months.
All right, and of course, in the military, eventually you were assigned to Iraq with weapons inspectors?
That's correct. While I was stationed at Central Command Headquarters, I went on inspections roughly every 3 months from 1996 through 1998.
Now, were you stationed in Saudi Arabia, or where were you stationed?
I was stationed in Tampa, Florida, out of Central Command Headquarters.
Oh, I see. Okay. Of course, you'd travel over there.
Yeah, I just would go over to Bahrain to meet up with the rest of the team. All the members from various member states would come over there, and we'd meet up there. Occasionally, I went up to New York to plan inspections.
For the most part,
I met up with everyone in Bahrain.
And now, this was the United Nations weapons inspectors?
It was.
All right. Now, did you see any evidence of poverty or of illness or sickness when you were there?
In Iraq?
In Iraq, yes.
Yes. Not anywhere near the propaganda would have you believe, but what the real problem was the price of food. Food was available. There's large flocks of sheep, and they just bring them into town, and in the major thoroughfares, right in the middle of in the island between the two lanes, they lay down straw. And that's where the animals would be butchered.
All right,
it was available.
We're going to be back here in just
bread
a moment.
Was available. Vegetables were available.
Okay, we're going to be back here.
Expensive.
Bill, we're going to be back here in just a moment.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Bill Tierney, and of course, he's telling us about life in Iraq from 1996 to 1998, and of course, we've been told that there were about 500,000 Iraqi children who died of starvation and lack of vaccines, and I'd always accepted this as true until I read an article in one of the books we offer called Blowback by a newspaper, a newsreel or a video producer was actually over there in 1995, and he said that really, of course, there was plenty of food that was very expensive, but all these stories he'd heard about the tremendous famine and problems there really wasn't true. What is your impression of that?
I'd have to agree with it. Yeah, the famine is not, that's not happening.
All right, fine.
Now, you could possibly make a case in southern Iraq, but I did not go to many of the major cities personally, and so I don't have an on-the-ground assessment. And that would not have been because of a lack of food. That would have been because of state policy.
You mean because of Saddam's policy of punishing the Shiites because they didn't...
Well, not only punishing them, but using them as pawns. So he purposely starves them, then blames the West because of the sanctions. The sanctions policy was one of the most stupidest things that we could have done. The idiocy behind instituting the sanctions. I've never had it explained. To think that we were going to force proper behavior out of Saddam Hussein through sanctions was just foolish.
All right, fine. Well, of course, then, when you were over there, did you find evidence of chemical or biological weapons?
I did.
All right, fine.
Now,
what sort of weapons
evidence,
did he have?
Though, do you mean like me having my hands on it?
Oh, no. I mean your group, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Every time we would hunt down something, we would come, for instance, I'll give you an example. The 2nd Republican Guard Battalion on the road out to the airport, we had information that guards from this unit were used to guard specialized containers to hold biological weapons. We got a tip right in the middle of an inspection. Some guard answered a question, and he sort of let the cat out of the bag. And we jumped in our vehicles and we raced over there, and we locked, we surrounded the place, and we locked the Iraqis in. They wouldn't let us in. And their reason was, well, you came here about a year and a half ago, so you don't need to go in again. That was as good as they could pull out of their pocket on a moment's notice. Well, we had one of our sub-teams had gone around the back, and it was in an elevated area and could look over the cement wall into the facility, and they could see guards moving these metallic square containers exactly as was described by the defector information onto trucks, and they were all moving at a frantic pace. Now, is that the bullet? No. Is that a smoking gun? Yes. We didn't have our hands actually on the weapons themselves, but that is an indicator that there were weapons and that the Iraqis were hiding them from us.
Well, now, were there chemical or were there biological weapons?
In that specific instance, the information we had was that it was biological.
I see. Well, now, were any actually identified by your various groups and actually destroyed?
Not the ones that I was on. A lot of that happened earlier in the program. The Iraqis basically took the approach of giving them 30% of what they had, saying it was all, and coming out to destroy it and be seen as also magnanimous. And there was telltale signs that there was something amiss, so the inspectors kept pushing. And then the more they pushed, the more signs they saw. And that just made them more inquisitive.
Well, then eventually, of course, what was it, 98 or so, that the United Nations pulled out of Iraq because of the non-cooperation on the part of the Saudi regime?
Right. The specific incident was a inspection of the Ba'ath Party headquarters. There was information that either documents pertaining to the weapons of mass destruction program or actual weapons or components of weapons were being stored there. I don't recall exactly at the time. But they were not allowed to go in. And that was this was in early December of 1998. In November of 1998, there had been a, we came almost a half hour short of an attack on Iraq because they refused to allow the inspectors in. And then Saddam said, okay, you can come in. So that next inspection included a visit to the Ba'ath Party headquarters. The Iraqis said, no way, you're not coming in. So at that point, Richard Butler said, okay, everyone hop on the plane. We're out of here. And later on that day, Desert Fox started.
That's
actually the blow-by-blow. People have said that the Iraqis kicked them out, and the answer has been, well, no, they left on their own. Well, the bottom line is that the Iraqis weren't cooperating, so there's no point in staying.
All right, fine. Now, of course, what happened to you? You got into trouble with the military because you had the audacity to pray with a Christian Arab.
That's right.
What was that all about?
My goodness, if you look in the book of Daniel and you see what happened to him, the parallels are incredible because I was involved with the inspections. I was being requested by name, and there were certain people who just didn't like that. They, human jealousy being what it is. So a very innocuous prayer that I gave with a Christian Arab source was turned into an egregious breach of protocol, and then it was turned into, this man is trying to proselytize while on duty. And when I tried to explain that this person was Christian, there's no way I could be proselytizing him, I was retaliated against for defending myself and ultimately forced out of the service.
simply because you prayed with a Christian who happened to be an Arab, and wasn't he sort of terrified? Didn't he need some spiritual support?
Yeah, he was cooperative, but he was also extremely nervous. He's in a new country, doesn't speak the language, he's got to take care of his family. How is he going to provide for him? He's got family back home. All of this is running through the poor guy's mind. And he was in a state. So it says in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Man, that's a fantastic verse. And I had someone who was anxious. I prayed, and he was at peace.
All right,
that's
now,
what the Bible says.
Was this in Iraq, or was this in one of the other countries?
It was in some location within the United States.
I see. You prayed with somebody in the United States.
Correct.
And they made an issue out of that. What an incredible, almost like an anti-Christian bias there.
Well, we've been very careful all along. My Congressman Charles Kennedy of the 12th District of Florida did an absolutely fantastic job representing me. And he gave the Defense Intelligence Agency full opportunity to explain this situation. You know, he approached it as, maybe there's something here I just don't understand. I'm going to give them the opportunity to explain. And they didn't. Their response was irrational, just plain irrational. To give you an example, the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, Admiral Thomas Wilson, wrote and signed his name to a letter that said, Mr. Tierney's actions could have resulted in the loss of an important intelligence source. So the fact that my actions aided the debriefing is irrelevant. The hypothetical possibility that it could have harmed it justified their decision. Now, in that logic, we should be blackballing or blacklisting Eisenhower. The fact that D-Day was successful is irrelevant. It could have failed. That's the kind of reasoning we've had from the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. And we wonder why 9/11 happened. Now, I've read your newsletters, and I think I want to sort of preempt something. One of the things you have to consider when you're dealing with how things happen in the world and the policies behind them is just plain incompetence and human nature playing itself out and people doing absolutely stupid things, not for a nefarious reason, but because there's some sort of foolish, petty reason behind it. It's unfortunate that we've seen it all throughout history. I mean, the book of Daniel is a good example. The advisors to the king were just jealous of Daniel. He did a good job. He worked hard, and he did a good job. So it's not as though they really hated prayer. They just found it a very convenient hook to get him. But from the spiritual point of view, a law was decreed that made it illegal to pray. Now, in my case, a precedent was set where all someone has to do is say, this person's religious practice, I think, is inappropriate. You don't have to explain why. You don't have to offer evidence. The accusation is the evidence. And it's not going to stand. I am going to fight it. It's going to be reversed.
Well, I hope and pray that that is the case. Of course, I believe there is a spiritual battle being played out in our society today by people who hate Christianity. But maybe you're right. Maybe this is just stupidity.
Well, no, there's that too. There's that too.
All right,
I'm
so you do recognize then that there's a spiritual battle taking place in the world today. And that really sometimes when you stand up for Christianity, why, of course, you're going to come under tremendous pressure.
Right.
Okay, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment after a short break here at Radio Liberty. A book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, En Route to Global Occupation.
His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamex. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you about the Big Berkey water filter. And this is certainly the most economic water filter you can buy. It's convenient. It sets up in minutes without the need for plumbing tools or electricity. It's powerful. It removes pathogens such as E. coli and cryptosporidium and reduces chlorine, herbicides, pesticides, foul taste, and odors. The Big Berkey is so powerful it can actually filter raw and treated water from lakes and from rivers. It's a sort of a filter that the missionaries have used throughout the world for over 150 years. It's elegant, high-grade, polished stainless steel, will complement your finest decor. It's flexible. You can take it from your home to your RV or your boat. It's the ultimate water filter, and of course, ordinarily these water filters sell for $279.95. We offer it for $239.95 through Radio Liberty. And of course, if you order it through us, why, we offer you one of either five videos or five four tape sets that we produce. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now, I have to tell you that at the present time, the Big Berkey is not yet available in California or Iowa. And of course, we hope to have something before very long. But right now, Big Berkey is not available in California, Iowa, but it is available anywhere else in the country. And then, of course, we also carry Miracle 2 soap products. And Miracle 2 soap, really, it comes in a regular soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and of course there's a neutralizer, which is a very alkaline solution, which seems to control very efficiently heartburn. At least many people say that. We can't make any medical claims, but we can tell you that these products certainly seem to have helped many, many people. If you'd like to know more about Miracle 2 soap products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and you can get an introductory packet at a reduced price. That telephone number again, 1-800-544-8297, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 8927, 544-8927 for Miracle 2 soap products. I'm sure you'll like them. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Bill Tierney. And, of course, he was in the military. He was over in Iraq. And, of course, he was involved with the inspection teams there. And, you know, we talked off the air, and, of course, you feel that we should go to war with Iraq. Are you concerned at all that this may foment a blowback here and terrorist attacks in America?
Well, yeah, I am concerned. I think it's all part of the war. Saddam Hussein wants to win, and he's going to do what's necessary to win. Part of that has been recruiting, training, and deploying as many infiltrators and saboteurs and jihadists as possible.
No, but of course,
his bidding.
Is he part? He's not really a strict Muslim himself, is he? Is he part of the Islamic terrorist movement, or is he simply an independent, ruthless dictator?
Well, he's not. He's a Muslim for show. He will, you know, he changed the flag, and that won him some kudos among jihadists. He put Allahu Akbar on his on the Iraqi flag, but and he'll have his picture taken, you know, at the mosque. His picture gets taken everywhere, but in reality, no, he's just he's basically a mafia boss.
I'd say that's a pretty good description of him.
Yeah, that's if you want a model for what he is, he's a mafia boss. He's the head of a criminal syndicate masquerading as a legitimate government.
All right, fine. So, of course, then the question I asked then, you're concerned that there might be a terrorist attacks here in America from people who really feel that this is sort of an attack by the Crusaders on Islam?
Yes.
Well, yes. Then, of course, would there be these attacks if we did not attack Saddam Hussein? Now, this is entirely different than, of course, the fanatic attack that we had on September 11th, which was, of course, carried out by people who were totally dedicated to this idea of recreating this Islamic world.
Right.
But those are not the people that would be supporting Saddam.
Oh, yeah, they would. Yeah, they would. They'll definitely look a glance. We give them much too much credit to think that they would not lower themselves to deal with somebody like Saddam. I mean, Osama bin Laden put Mr. Reed on the plane. I can't recall his first name now, the shoe bomber. He was a street thug out of London. He was just a punk. He was a throwaway, all right? From Osama bin Laden's point of view, this person was a throwaway. Osama bin Laden has done a fantastic job of portraying himself as the holy warrior who's true to all the dictates of Islam, and so he's not going to, you know, his behavior is highly governed by all these noble notions. That's nonsense. He's very practical. He's going to do what it takes to win.
Now, of course, he intends to win, but the thing is that why don't we finish the war against Islamic terrorism and get Osama bin Laden and capture him and capture the Al-Qaeda, who are really dedicated, as they look upon themselves as Islamic warriors, instead of spending our, and probably risking a lot of people's lives in taking out Saddam Hussein. Why don't we finish the war with terrorism before we go to war with Saddam Hussein?
Okay, well, there's a very good answer to that. There is a number of sheikhs in Saudi Arabia. One example is Ibn Jibreen. Another one is Sheikh Al-Awda. And they have both keyed on certain verses in the Quran that talk about the requirement for Muslims to go and aid fellow Muslims who are in a fight. So those verses were used to send Saudis and Yemenis and others from the Gulf states and Egypt to the Balkans, to Chechnya, and to the Afghanistan. Now, everyone has said, well, it'd be terrible if all these jihadists, came and joined up with Saddam. I don't think that's terrible at all. I think it's extremely brilliant move on our part, because if you're going to fight a war, do you want to fight it the enemy's way, or do you want to force the enemy to fight it your way? Now, I would ask your listeners, would they rather see a jihadist in Saudi Arabia hop in his truck, go up to Iraq, and take a bullet from a Marine, or hop on a plane, come to the States, and walk into your place of business, or your school, or your shopping center with an aerosol can of anthrax?
Well, now, of course, you made a very, very good point. And, of course, the point is that, of course, a lot of this comes right out of Saudi Arabia, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, fine. And so when we get back, I really want to discuss and elaborate on that concept, because here, of course, the basis of this whole radical Islamic movement is the Wahhabism, the religion of Saudi Arabia. And, of course, the clerics who are pushing this are primarily in Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden came from Saudi Arabia. 15 of the 19 terrorists who attacked America came from Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabians have been financing the Islamic movement. And so we went to war with Afghanistan. And now we're going to go to war with Iran, Iraq. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. This is a fashion.
fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course I want to mention some of the other things that we carry here. One of them, of course, is the Phonopoly, and Phonopoly is a program to teach children how to read phonetically. And if you have a child who goes to a government school, chances are they've not been taught phonics. They've been taught look-see, a method of learning to read, which is was doomed to failure from the very beginning. In fact, it was intended to fail. And so Phonopoly is basically five board games. They're played like Monopoly and two bonus games. And we throw in a couple of books with that. And they're designed to teach a child how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically. Most of these reading programs are actually $300 or $400. This one's $139.95, you'll find it in about 16 hours. You can take a child who is having difficulty reading, and they'll play this, and you can play it with them. In fact, if you are like me and you play the game, you will actually learn a certain amount from doing it. You'll learn the basic rules of the English language, the 40 sounds of the English language, what an A is an AA or an RA, and when O is pronounced O or pronounced differently. And all of this is covered in the Phonopoly set. It's a wonderful gift for a child. What better gift to give to a child than to allow them to learn how to read and to spell and pronounce words? And so remember again, Phonopoly, and you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we have a great book that goes into the background of the Kennedy assassination. It's the ultimate book because it's based upon the writing of a gentleman named Mr. Robert Crowley, who was deputy director of covert operations for the CIA, explaining why he and the men who were with him killed President Kennedy. Let me suggest that you get the book. It's called Regicide. Well, I guess this afternoon is Mr. Bill Tierney, and if you're out there in the listening audience, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Bill was just making the point that certainly, there would be these warriors that might be in Saudi Arabia, because this is where the clerics are who are pushing this whole fanatic Islamic concept. At least the primary source of this would be within the Wahhabi religion. Would you agree to that, Bill?
Yes. So, I was in Saudi Arabia from August of 2000 to September of 2001. I came home a few days after the 9/11 attack. And I work with a team of linguists. We were the liaison between the U.S. forces and the Saudi forces at an airbase there. And one of our team, who is of Pakistani extraction, was in the Saudi cafeteria the morning after the attack. He went to pay for his food, and the Saudi there said, "Excuse me, let me pay for it." And he said, "Oh, that's nice. What's the occasion?" "Oh, it's the party." What party?" "To celebrate a successful attack." And my friend looked around, and all the other Saudis in the cafeteria were beaming. They were just overjoyed. And then they looked at his expression on his face and realized that he wasn't one of them. And they all went blank. These are the same people who are responsible for the perimeter guard of a very key location in the Middle East. So that gives you a snapshot.
Now, well, basically what you're saying is the Saudis were totally in favor of really of what happened in the attack on America.
Well, these Saudis were. And I did a thorough search of Saudi press, Arabic language press, and there were plenty who were very carefully approving of it.
And
they
think
couldn't. They had to be sort of tiptoe, but they speak in code so that the readers know where their true sympathies lie.
You do speak Arabic or read Arabic?
Enam. Yes, I'm a linguist.
All right, fine. And so I think that it's vitally important that people understand what Bill is saying here, and that is that there's a tremendous amount of support for this whole world Islamic terrorist movement in Saudi Arabia itself, because, of course, the legitimacy of the society there is based upon the Wahhabi religion, and the Wahhabi religion has taken the five tenets of Islam, that there's no God but Allah, that you will pray five times a day, that you will be charitable, that you will, of course, take a trip to Mecca one time during your lifetime, and that you will fast during Ramadan. And they've added a sixth tenet, and that tenet is jihad. And that means that you will certainly destroy the infidels, you'll destroy anybody who doesn't go along with this system. And, of course, they hate America and Christianity. And, in fact, in Saudi Arabia, they will not allow Bibles. They won't even allow private Bible studies in their own home, will they?
That's correct. Yeah. I have a laptop Bible here in my... My screensaver is Screen Savior. It pops up verses from the Bible, and I would work in an office with other Saudis there, and I just kept it, and I left it on there. And you know, occasionally we'd have people come in, some Arabs. I recall an Egyptian who could speak. You know, his English was very good, so he read this and he knew he could understand what it was. And he sort of gave me a smirk about living close to the edge, but I kept it. And if anyone wanted to make an issue out of it, that was their business. It was for my use, and I wasn't going to take it off.
Now, is there any question in your mind that the Saudi government certainly is very supportive of the Taliban or of this whole Islamic terrorist movement? I'm talking about the key princes over there who have we know of, at least there's been charges that they've been actually financing Al-Qaeda and certainly have been financing Hamas and these other terrorist organizations.
Well, I did an article for the Weekly Standard that was printed on December 23rd of 2002. And in this article, I claim that Prince Nayef, who is now the Minister of the Interior, is actually running the show. He has so many hats. He's in charge of the Supreme Council for Information. He's also in charge of the World Trade Organization Committee. He's also in charge of the Hajj. And sitting on top of the Ministry of Interior, that's basically your internal police. And in a police state, because Saudi Arabia is just as much, well, I can't say just as much. They're a police state just like Iraq is. It's maybe not to the same degree.
Do they behead people in Iraq?
No, they don't behead people in Iraq. And, well, no, wait, let me take that. They behead people in Iraq, but not the same way.
All right.
They don't do it in the public square. They do it surrounded by boss party thugs who are out for a good time. And they also throw people to dogs in Iraq, too. That's one of Qusay Saddam Hussein's favorite ways of extermination. But there's more religious freedom in Iraq.
There's more religious freedom in Iraq than there is in Saudi Arabia. So they allow a teaching of Christianity in the...
Oh, sure. It's proselytizing is definitely frowned upon, but there are a number of... In fact, there are Christian neighborhoods of Baghdad. Qarada is a Christian neighborhood. Drive through it and you can see you can see church spires.
So basically, Christianity is well tolerated in Iraq, but not in Saudi Arabia.
That's correct.
And, of course, now this article that you wrote for the Weekly Standard, did this get at all into the Iraqi financing of Islamic terrorism and the Islamic terrorist organizations?
No, that wasn't the focus. The focus was actually to I originally wanted to see, do a study of the difference in English language press coming from Saudi Arabia and Arabic language press. And what occurred is, as I did this study, the name Prince Nayef came up again and again and again, and it just struck me how his name would come up, and then there would be a distinctive description of what his job function was. And as my focus turned, I noticed this guy has so many hats, and because he is in charge of the secret police, he's in the position to keep the Saud family in power. So if they have these closed-door meetings among Prince Sultan and Prince Abdullah and all the other senior members of the Saud family, Prince Nayef is the one that really holds the cards, because he's in charge of the Ministry of Interior.
Well, I'm sure like Heinrich Himmler was in charge of Gestapo then in Hitler's Germany.
Right.
Actually, Heinrich Himmler wasn't Heinrich Mueller. Heinrich Mueller was the guy that we brought over here at the end of the war. Heinrich Himmler headed the SS, which was over the Gestapo. And most Americans don't know that Heinrich Mueller, who headed the SS, the Gestapo, was brought to America. We have the book about him written based upon his diary. It's called Gestapo Chief. I just wonder how many Americans have heard that, and if they can conceal that from the American people, what else they can steal? Again, the book, Gestapo Chief, written by Gregory Douglas, based upon the writings of Heinrich Mueller, head of the German Gestapo, who was brought here after the Second World War. Now, that's a little bit different than what we're talking about today in Saudi Arabia. But have you gotten into at all Saudi Arabian funding and financing of the Hamas and these other organizations that are so intent upon disrupting the Palestinian peace process?
Well, Prince Nayef has his own separate website, and to promote himself as the champion of the Palestinians. He was the one who organized the famous telethon to raise funds for the Palestinians.
Now, is this for the Palestinians or is this Hamas?
The Palestinians in general.
All right.
And he also funded support for Chechnya and the Balkans.
Now, I've heard, of course, Chechnya and Balkans were, this Islamic radical movement that went in there. And, of course, this is not what the Muslims who lived in Bosnia wanted. These were these radical Islamists, and they didn't tolerate, of course, the regular Muslims. They had their own specific agenda of establishing this radical Islamic state, as they do everywhere. In fact, one of the things that's most interesting is the Islamic, the Saudi or Wahhabi Muslims, this whole Islamic movement, really is very intolerant of other Muslims. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, that would be a fair statement. There's two words in Arabic, munafiq, which is hypocrite, and that is applied to Muslims who refuse to engage in jihad, and it's a very strong word. And then there's another one, it's a mudad, those who are against. In other words, those who are against true Islam. And that one gets tossed out by, what's his name, the Sheikh in London, head of the Muhajirun. Those two terms get thrown at other Muslims.
Well,
do
you think that the average Muslim really wants to be involved in jihad? Do you think the average Muslim, I'm not talking about the people in Saudi Arabia, but the Muslims right. You've run into, say, in Iraq, do you think they have any interest in jihad or in taking over the world, or they just want to live in peace?
That's an excellent question, and it's something that I try to convey to people, because we are suffering under a delusion that Osama bin Laden is a fringe element of Islam. If he had said that he had received new revelation from God, something along those lines, I would be the first to agree that he had hijacked Islam. The truth is that he is pointing his finger at verses that have lain dormant for many years. And in fact, if you wanted a parallel, it would be similar to Martin Luther. Martin Luther pointed at verses like "the just shall live by faith" that had basically been forgotten and had been replaced by other, you know, other behaviors. Now, the fundamental difference is you have the verses that Martin Luther stressed, and you have the verses in the Quran that UBL, Osama bin Laden, is stressing, and that call for jihad. Now, in the middle of all this, you have your average Muslim. He wants to live in peace. He lives down the street from you. He's got kids. He's got to get through school, too. He's got all the same problems, paying his taxes, all that stuff that you do. Now, here's the problem. When he's got his quiet time and he opens up the Quran and he takes this as a revelation from the creator of the universe, he knows those verses are there. He'd rather not do it. He'd rather just live his life just like you and me.
Well, I think the difference is, of course, is that Osama bin Laden was indoctrinated with these ideas in Saudi Arabia, and this is the Wahhabi branch of Islam. And of course, this is the problem. I don't know why, you know, if we really are interested in getting rid of Islamic terrorism, why don't go to the source, which is the Wahhabi religion? 15 of the 19 terrorists came from Saudi Arabia. What does that suggest to you?
Yeah, but that's, see, it's easy to talk about that on a radio show or in a college classroom, but the problem is that's a fundamental sea change in U.S. policy over the years. You know, we bound ourselves to Saudi Arabia, you know, right after the Second World War. Saudi Arabia did help us significantly in defeating the Soviet Union with the oil price manipulation to help drive the Soviet Union into bankruptcy. But the problem is the intent behind their promotion of radical Islam is forcing a change. And, you know, there's a lot of people in, you know, the State Department, academia, that are so... they're so grounded in the status quo, they don't see the gravity of the situation and realize that we have to have a fundamental change in our policy towards Saudi Arabia.
You're absolutely right. In fact, the Saudi Arabians are the ones that have been fomenting this whole Islamic terrorist movement, and we continue playing footsie with them. We go to war with Afghanistan, despite the fact that Saudi Arabia was financing Afghanistan before the war. But then so are we. And now we're going to go to war with Iraq instead of going to the root cause. And as long as we keep going at the peripheral areas, we're going to continue having this whole radical Islamic movement, fomenting and financing the Islamic terrorism that can certainly strike right here at the heart of America. This is my concern. They're even financing radical mosques, not only in our towns across America, but even in our prisons, and recruiting Islamic terrorists in prisons in America today.
Right.
Are you concerned about that?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely concerned about that.
But it's all being funded by Saudi Arabia.
You do want to sort of, let's step back, though, from the scenario you just painted, though, because you can't forget that Iraq has developed these weapons, and believe me, that it's going to come out that they have been in bed with the jihadists. They have been supporting them, okay? And they've been at war with us since the Gulf War. In fact, right in front of me, I have a magazine. Every time I was in Iraq, I picked up Alif Ba, their Time magazine. And as I flip through these things, there's always an article on the ongoing conflict with the Western imperialists. The Iraqi view is that the war's been going on all along, and they have been taking steps to win, knowing that conventionally that's not their strong suit, so they've got to go through other means. And that's why I'm very concerned that they're going to come at us hard. If we attack, they'll come at us, but if we don't attack, if we back off at this point, there are millions of Muslims. And let's get back to that question.
No, we're not. We're talking about Iraq now.
That question was very important. I really need to get back to it. There are all these Muslims that, yeah, they want to live their lives, but they know what the Quran says. And if they see the United States back off, they're going to hop off the fence. They're going to start buying into the vision of an Islamic world 20 years down the road. We can't back off, Iraq. We have to follow through.
How about Iran, Syria?
Well, I think if we come through strong in the face of all this noise and opposition on Iraq and still do it, we're going to shut a lot of people up.
All right, we're going to have to let you go, Bill.
North Korea will stop its foolishness.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest. I want to get you back on one of our other programs. Thank you so very much.
Sure.
Our guest has been Bill Tierney. God bless you. Thanks so very
thank
much.
You.
And the best with getting your commission, back in the military. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, for America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention we have a great new four-tape set, Terrorism in America. We can recommend that to you. And then, of course, we have so many other really important things that will help you better to understand, indeed, what is going on in the world today. Certainly, we carry an excellent book called Health and Nutrition Secrets, and It Can Save Your Life. It has a section in it basically on what you should do to survive a bacteriological attack. Certainly, the government is telling you to buy duct tape and plastic. Well, the only way, if there really were a biological attack, would be to increase your immunity, and there are ways to do that. They're covered in this excellent book by my friend, Dr. Russell Blaylock, a retired neurosurgeon used to practice in Jackson, Mississippi. Of course, the name of the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And then we have a four-tape set of four interviews I've done with Dr. Blaylock. It's called Life-Saving Secrets. If you prefer listening to tapes rather than the book, why, fine. Otherwise, I'd suggest that you get both of them, Life-Saving Secrets and Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And it will give you the information you need to begin to make your preparations right now. And then, of course, one of the things the government talks about is, oh, you know, if there is going to be a terrorist attack, you want a three-day supply of food. That's ridiculous. If there's a terrorist attack, you want a supply of food to help yourself and your neighbors, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for a Ready Reserve food catalog. Ready Reserve Foods, basically, they are the manufacturer that many other distributors actually utilize. We've dealt with them for many years on our own. I know David Sibley, the manager there. So if you'd like to know more about laying in a food supply, and you can get as much or as little as you want, but you ought to have something on hand. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving into very difficult times. There's something called blowback. And when you attack somebody else, don't be surprised if they retaliate. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the end of the program and the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will decide that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day trying to reach people with an understanding of what's going on. Our weekend program is heard in 34 stations across America, and then we do another weekend program, usually down here on KSCO, which is the voice of the Central Coast of California. And, of course, as you know, we do a program here on KKMC as well, the Christian voice of Monterey Bay. But, of course, our weekend program is heard every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock or 11:30 on KSCO. KKMC, and then we do a new program on KSCO. So, but it all is very expensive. It costs money to do radio. In fact, I shudder when I think of these bills coming in every month, but we look forward to people out across America who believe in what we're doing, who want to be on our team. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we hope that many of you will decide right now to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And when you do that, you get the four best tapes of the month. You get the monthly newsletter. But more than that, why you're helping us do what we do 5 hours every day. And then, of course, we have a website, and it's really, I think it's one of the best websites up there. And you can go to radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And you'll find our programs there. We archive all of our Radio Liberty programs. The American Freedom Network and Genesis Network are not archived, but the Radio Liberty Network is archived, and you can listen to it. And, of course, we hope that many of you will decide that you'll go up there and that you'll pull down our radio programs. You can listen to them at any time. And then, of course, you can pull down our newsletters. They're up there perfectly free. Of course, we hope that you'll want to subscribe to the Radio Liberty letter and that you'll get it on a regular basis. If you don't have access to the Internet, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And you can subscribe to the newsletter, or if you'd like, a free copy. And certainly our February newsletter contains a speech by Robert Byrd, Senator Robert Byrd. I think it's one of the finest speeches I've ever read. It deals with the coming war. Now, nothing you and I say is going to influence what's about to happen. And if Saddam Hussein doesn't go into exile or he isn't assassinated, why, we're going to have a war in the Middle East. And people have forgotten how terrible war is. But, of course, I've studied the wars of the last century. Every one of them was contrived. None of them were fought for the reasons that the men were asked to bleed and suffer and die were ever allowed to know. So let me suggest, if you would like to get a free copy of that newsletter, on the February newsletter, we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. And then, of course, if you'd like to get my video on the little-known background of the wars and revolutions of the 20th century, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. It's a video, and I can recommend it to you because it'll give you an entirely different insight into what has happened in the past. And as George Santayana said so well, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So if you'd like to get that video, let me suggest get it soon, because it will give you an insight into what's really behind the attack on Iraq. And I will tell you what it's about. It's about a new world order. It's about a new world religion. And this is really what has motivated all of the wars of the last century. It's not about making money, as a lot of people would have you believe. It's not about the munitions manufacturers profiting. It's about this dream, the dream of the ancient mystery religions of antiquity that are exemplified by the occult symbol on the back of your dollar bill, the world order, the Novus Ordo Seclorum that is written there beneath the pyramid, the new social order, the new secular order. And, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because if America don't turn back to God, God is going to turn his back on America. And we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until next week at the same time, this is tomorrow actually at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
How did she go? Chronicle.
Let's see.
And that was it. Dan, I want to borrow your book, Fit In.
All right, fine.
I'm going to take those two pamphlets that are in it, and I'll bring them back.
All right, fine.
Okay.
Nobody wanted to interrupt that exchange.
Which one was that?
The 4 o'clock program.
It was quite interesting.